Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2010. Lecture 18, delivered on November 1, 2010. The title of this lecture is Degrees of Leverage.
Today, Degrees of Leverage. This is a technical topic. I'm going to show you three formulas. The formulas aren't hard, and it's not, and I'm just going to do them by example. Use one example to show you the three formulas in action. Degree of operating leverage, degree of financial leverage, and the degree of combined leverage. Essentially, what I am doing and what we do in calculating these degrees of leverage is we look at magnification of volatility down the financial statement. That is a proxy for the magnification of risk, or volatility, shall I say, down the actual financials of the corporation. Now, the first one, you'll recognize these as they sort of remind you of these volatilities we did a while back with the coefficient of variation. This is a somewhat simpler calculation, what we do in here, insofar as you're just calculating some percentage changes. But just to make sure that you're on, that you know the basic formula here, and let me get a grab a marker or two just so I can do this. If you're calculating a percentage change, and I'm sure most of you already know how to do this, but I'm going to put it up here. Percentage change is always the end minus the beginning over the begin. That's a percentage change the way we want. I want you to do it. Now, there are some places where you'll say, well, the denominator should be half of the ending plus the beginning. Don't do that. Just do it this way. Percentage change is the ending value minus the beginning value over the beginning value. That gives you the decimal, and then as a percentage, you times it by 100 to get the number as a percentage. And so I'm going to write up some financials here on the board. Bear with me as I put this simple stuff up on the board here that I've got to use for this example. And we'll write 2008 and 2009. And I'm going to do net sales. And fixed costs. Variable cost, and then that will give me my operating income. And then from there, I'll subtract my interest expense. And then that will give me my EBIT. I'm sorry, EBT. Operating income is, by the way, EBIT. And then we'll do taxes, less taxes at 30%. We'll do that. And then that will give us our net income. 2008, we're going to have $15 million in net sales. 2009, $25 million in net sales. And then fixed costs, following my example here I've got written down, providing I don't mistranscribe something. Your fixed costs are going to stay at $3,800,000. And then your variable costs, $1,980,000. and then those will rise in 2009, your variable cost to $3,300,000. And then your operating income will then come out to be for 2008, $9,220,000, my numbers are right here. And for 2009, $17,900,000. We're going to have an interest expense of $1,710,000, and that will stay the same, $1,710,000, that will stay the same for 2009, bringing in our earnings before taxes to $7,510,000, and in 2009 to $16,190,000. Someone might want to verify my numbers here. And then your taxes at 30% of that would be for 2008, $2,253,000. And for 2009, $4,857,000. And then your net for 2008 would be $5,257,000. And for 2009, $11,333,000. That's the legwork on just writing those down. And now we're going to go through the operating leverage degrees. The degrees of operating leverage, financial leverage, and combined leverage. And again, what I'm doing here is I'm calculating what effectively is a magnification factor. Magnification created by operating expenses, the magnification of volatility created by financial expense, or the interest expense, and then the overall magnification of volatility that happens from the sales line down to the net income line. Now, the first one we'll do here is the degree of operating leverage. Percent change in earnings before taxes over the percent change in sales. This is the degree of operating leverage, DOL. So you're going to have to calculate the percent change in EBT will be the ending EBT, I'm sorry, EBIT, $17,900,000 less $9,220,000 over $9,220,000. Now, I strongly encourage you to make sure you can do this by calculating it with me. And I did not do these. I want to make it as real as possible. 17,900,000 minus $9,220,000 divided by $9,220,000. So what do you get for that? Taking it to two decimal places and checking 9414. Your earnings before interest and taxes rose by 94.14%. Now I'm going to go and do the percent change in sales. And that would be 25 million less 15 million over 15 million. And so my percent change in sales, 25 minus 15, .67%. So my sales rose by 66.2%. That's what that says. And now I can calculate the DOL, the degree of operating leverage, which will be the percent change in EBIT, 94.14% over 66.67%. Now, if you're going to round, make sure that you don't round too much. Two decimal places at a minimum to do that.
4146703 divided by points.
1.41 is the number. And that's a times. Percents over percent, the percents cancel, so you get a pure factor. So that is telling me that my volatility is magnified almost 1.5 times from sales down to EV operating income. That's what that's telling me right there, is that my volatility has increased by 1.41 times in going from the sales line to the operating income line. So that would mean that if my sales increase for every 10%, my sales increase, my sales change, my EBIT changes by 14.1%. Follow that? For every 10% my sales change, my EBIT, my operating income, changes by 14.1%. That's essentially what that magnification factor is telling me. That's the degree of operating leverage. Now let's look at the degree of financial leverage, DFL. Now the degree of financial leverage takes us from the operating income line down, it takes us from the net to the net income over sales. I'm sorry. Takes us from the from EBIT down to the net income line. Degree of financial leverage is a change in net income, percent change in net income over the percent change in EBIT. So you see how you're stepping from one to the next, like a ladder. First, we've seen how the magnification that happens from sales to operating income. Now we're going to see the magnification of volatility from operating income down to the bottom line of the corporation. And so in this case, well, I kind of was hoping I could do this. Well, that's okay. Let me do it. Let me do this. Oh, hell's bells. Okay, no. Look, notice here, by the way. I've already got the percent EBIT, so I'm okay. I've got the 94.14%. I thought I'd erase the number right there, okay? So now all I have to do is do the percent change in net income. Percent change in net income is going to be 11,330,000 less 5,257,000 over 5,257,000.
And again, for God's sake, do these with me in case I make a real fail mistake here.
11,330,000 less 5,257,000. What did I do? I was just testing you. You're right. That's a 333. See, I'm glad you saw that. I wanted to show you how easy it is to make a...
Okay. Let's try that again. 11,333,000 minus 5,257,000 divided by... The result of that divided by 5,257,000. And you get 1.16.
Wait, what? That's right. Really? Yeah, really? I didn't get enough decimals there.
1558.
1558. Which is 115.58%. So the degree of financial leverage is 115.58% over 94.14%.
Now, if I crank that out and there might be a little bit of rounding from what you get divided by 94.14, I get 1.23.
Is that about what you get? Yeah. Round, okay, 1.23. 1.23 times. So that's saying that the magnification of volatility from operating income down to the net income is 1.23 times. So for every 10% that EBIT changes, you get a 12.3% change in net income. Again, do you see how it's like a magnification factor? You're just looking at how volatility spreads down the line. It's funny because the numbers get smaller as you go down a financial statement, but that is concomitant with the spread of the risk of the volatility as you go down the statement. Now for the last one, the degree of combined leverage. The degree of combined leverage... I wish I had a comprehensive place to write all these.
Degree of combined leverage. I had a note here that I had an idea. Okay. Percent delta NI over percent.
There's the note. There's the note I had. I've been off my mark here because I had a note written. If you're using the textbook, watch out on page 382, there's a typographical error that can really mess you up. They write the formula for the degree of combined leverage, but they write DFL equals. They say it above the formula, they say degree of combined leverage, but the formula itself says DFL equals. That's DCL. And that can really mess you up if you're trying to just grab the formulas and go with them. So make a note of this. On page 382 in the textbook, it says DFL. The first formula says DFL equals. That's DCL.
I knew I had that note written somewhere.
Degree of combined leverage. is the percent change in net income over the percent change in sales. The percent change in net income over the percent change in sales. This measures the entire magnification from the top to the bottom. So it tells us by what factor net income changes as a percent for a given change in sales. So in this case, to calculate this one, we already have all of the numbers we need. The percent change in DCL, we got up here in DFL. I'm sorry, the percent change in net income, we got up here in DFL. See it right there? So 115.58% over the percent change in sales, which I got up on DOL, 66.67%. So if I do that, I get 115.58% divided by 66.67%, and I get 1.74 times. Is that right? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Thank you. I'm getting rounding happy there. 1.73. So in other words, what that's saying is that for a 10% change in sales, for every 10% change in sales, net income is going to change by 1.73 times that, or 17.3%. That's the magnification of volatility. Now, there's one final thing to mention here. Let me take DOL times DFL. DOL was 1.41. DFL was 1.23. If you take 1.41 times 1.23, you get 1.73. That's DCL. So if you take the degree of operating leverage times the degree of financial leverage, you get the degree of combined leverage. Here's why that's useful. Degree of combined leverage you care about. That you really do care about that because that tells you how your net income is going to be affected by changes in sales. Degree of combined leverage is important. But this little formula here at the end helps you out. And it helps you, it tells you how much of that change, how much of the volatility from top to the bottom is caused by operating versus financial leverage. In other words, it tells you how much of the volatility that is created from the top to the bottom of the financial statement is caused by your fixed costs versus how much is caused by your financing choice, how your capital structure is set up. In this case, you can see that my degree of combined leverage is 1.73 times. The factor is 1.73. Now we can say, well, where is the significant contribution? What is causing most of that magnification of volatility? And I can look here and I can say, it's not really our finances that are doing most of this heavy lifting here. It is our fixed costs, our operating costs that are causing most of the magnification of volatility from sales to net. That's important because it helps you get a handle, first of all, on where you are. And then it also gives you a handle on possibly thinking about what's going to happen. Suppose that I am concerned about, I'm a little concerned about my degree of combined leverage. And I'm looking at this particular set of numbers here. Now I'm going to do some major projects. I'm going to do some major projects. And I've got to decide whether I want to finance that with debt or with equity, or which way I want to lean as I'm financing my new projects. Okay, now, what will those new capital projects do right off the bat, without thinking about the financing of them? What would they I won't use Latin. In economics, we'd say ceteris paribus. But all other things being equal, what are new capital projects going to do? Very quickly. Increase what cost? Well, right off the bat, they'll create fixed costs. Massive new heavy-duty fixed assets in place. They will increase my fixed costs. Which would affect which of those two factors? Do you see which one of those two, DOL or DFL? Which one would that affect most? Yeah, DOL. Well, I've already got a problem with DOL. I don't like it being such a big contributor to overall leverage, to combined leverage. So, do I just give up the projects, or how would I counterbalance that? How would I counterbalance the fact that I'm going to have DOL coming up? What would I do? we hope for that, yeah. You're right about that. I'm thinking more along the line, what creates the financial leverage? Debt or equity? Debt. So what does that tell us we might want to consider doing when we are financing these new capital projects? Perhaps tilt it more toward equity, start thinking about maybe moving our capital structure a little bit more towards equity and away from debt. Yes, because you see, I've got capital projects that creates the fixed costs. That'll bring DOL up. But I already have a DOL that's bothering me, so I need to do something that will bring down my financial leverage, to try to control the combined leverage overall. So the way I would do that is to try to lower the interest expense as a component of overall expense. And the way I would do that is to finance the projects with equity, because who cares about my shareholders? They can sit and wait for their dividends and shut up. But I can't say that to the interest to the bondholders who want their interest payments. So if I move toward equity, I'm not going to incur a greater burden in my interest payments. And if I don't incur a greater burden in my interest payments, hopefully raising other things in the company, like the sales from the capital projects and all that, DFL would begin to ease back. Although that causes this guy to go up, it will pull that one back. So we are hopeful that the degree of combined leverage will not go crazy. Because if I finance it with the capital projects with debt, DOL is going to go up because I'm making a more fixed cost intensive company. DFL will go up because I got bigger interest payments to make. So DOL and DFL will both contribute to a larger degree of combined leverage, which means that I've got more volatility overall from sales down to the net income line. Now, the cool thing about what I've done here is that some of these things that I've shown you, just really honestly, I mean, from an outside analyst perspective, we can't do, at least we're looking in the dark to a certain extent, doing things like coefficient of variation, laying out different scenarios inside the company. Yeah, they can do that. But with these degrees of operating leverage, degrees of financial leverage, and degrees of combined leverage, we can look at these on financial statements that are on EDGAR. We can at least give darn good estimates of these just looking at the last couple of years of audited financial statements. We can see the sales. We can see the EBIT, operating income. We can see the net income. So these are numbers that we can, as outside analysts, look at, calculate. And if we are inside analysts inside in a company, we don't have to fly blind. We can look at other companies' financials and see what their degrees of operating financial and combined are and compare them to ours so that we're not trying to run away from the herd, so that we have a better idea of what the standards are in the industry. So the usefulness of these simple formulas that I've given you here is that they are, the information is readily available for public companies, and it's also darned useful for us in both as outside analysts and as internal analysts for companies. Now, excuse me. As far as doing this on an exam, these are really straightforward. I'd give you something pretty similar to this, maybe just some financial statements that you do several problems with. And one of the things you do, one of the problems you do is calculate your leverages. And then I would ask you, I might even ask you as one of these short essay questions, comment on the degree of combined leverage. What that means is you don't say, it looks good to me, man. It means that you say, well, there is a considerable magnification of volatility from the sales to the net income, but the biggest contributor is not the operating expenses, it is the financial leverage. And you could even, I might even ask for a recommendation. Eventually, I begin to ask you not for opinions, but for judgments. In the final exam, I might very well begin to ask you, not for what you believe or feel, but for your judgment based upon looking at the numbers and understanding what those numbers mean. I might ask you, how would you recommend this company deal with capital structure in financing new projects? And you could look and say, well, the DFL is really high right now compared to the DOL, so I might recommend that they back down from using debt and shift their capital structure more toward equity. That would be a judgment that was based upon both the information and your knowledge of the subject. And so that could come on the final, going that far, actually making a recommendation based upon what you're seeing in DOL, DFL, and DCL. This is actually very straightforward, though. This is not the hard stuff. You saw the hard stuff with MCC. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.